are you at keeping promises, at following through when you give your word? This is Tuesday, May 7th. This is a crucial question because our world is constructed with our words. Yes, the promises we make underlie our lives, providing structure and support. For example, we have a written and recorded deed for our home. It states that we are the owners of this little piece of property in Miami-Dade County. Those words mean something. Or take, for example, marriage vows, the promises husbands and wives speak to each other on their wedding day. Yes, they are just words, but words are never just words. They are the words we live by. Our words are the building blocks of our lives. And this is also true with our relationship with God. God relates to us based on a covenant, a promise he made long ago to Abraham, and by extension, through faith in Jesus, also with us. Now here is our text for today. Psalm chapter 25, verse 12 to 14. Who then are those who fear the Lord? He will instruct them in the ways they should choose. They will spend their days in prosperity, and their descendants will inherit the land. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. Now that word covenant is used to describe a sacred pact or agreement, in this case between God and his people. In the ancient worlds, parties entered into these pacts by making promises, describing their agreement, and what the penalties would be if the agreement were to be broken. Now here was the thing about God and his covenants. They were what we call one-way covenants. That is, God knew that human beings would not be able to fulfill their side of the bargain. That meant that if God wanted to enter into relationship with us, he would have to take the requirements of the covenant completely upon himself. Now that word covenant in Hebrew is the word berith. Maybe you've heard it before. That word literally means to cut, as to cut into pieces. And the reason is because in ancient covenant-making, animals were cut in two and laid out on the ground, and the covenant makers then passed between the pieces as they swore their oath to each other. In effect, they were saying, "May I be like one of those cut animals if I fail to obey the promises we are making here." Now, as we learned on Sunday, the Lord called Abraham into such a covenant. But when the time came for the parties to pass between the pieces, the Lord alone passed through. That is, he made a promise, and then he laid it upon himself, the penalty, if we did not live up to the covenant. If the relationship failed, God would bear the penalty in himself. Now, this may be difficult for us to understand. So God promised to bless Abraham, and he asked Abraham to walk before him in faithfulness. Abraham, for his part, it was simply to believe the promise of God, and that's what he did. Of course, we know Abraham, though he was a friend of God, failed in many ways. He did not always follow through in keeping the covenant. And this is also true in our lives. How many of us have lived the lives we ought to have lived? Here's that well-used prayer of confession from the prayer book. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. Now, what we have done and what we have left undone is talking about sins we have committed, sins of commission, and sins of omission, those things we have failed to do that we know God would call us to do. Yes, we have failed to live in the covenant the Lord made with us. And as a result, we are responsible before God for our actions. We are accountable to God, you might say, for he made us in his image to live in truth, to be those who keep our promises, and to follow through on our commitments. So what is the result? Yes, we remember the covenant with Abraham and all those who come to God by faith, and God takes the penalties of our breaking of the covenant himself. Just as those animals were split in two, the Lord Jesus bore in his body the results of the failure of the covenant. He personally took upon himself the keeping of the covenant we have broken. Now I want to get back to our text from Psalm 25. We are told, "The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them." So what is our hope? Yes, even the covenant, the pact made with God, is made known to us by God. God makes it, God keeps it, and God makes it known to us. Again, what is our part? It is simply resting in this covenant by faith, knowing and trusting that the covenant of God is kept by the Lord Jesus on God's behalf and ours too, so that we might enjoy fellowship with God. The covenant made by the Lord with Abraham and passed on to us by faith in Jesus becomes the foundation for our peace and our joy and our flourishing. As we are told, they spent their days in prosperity and they inherit the land. Now we might wonder how this can help us today. Well, God's promise remains the basis of the way God relates to us. This is why God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities, because Jesus has covered our sin and removed the shame of our disgrace. He's given us a place to stand, and it is this covenant we are to walk in each day, to live in to the glory of God. This is how that prayer from the prayer book ends. "For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen." Let's pray. God of all grace, we're not promise keepers, but you are. We are not faithful, but you are always faithful. Teach us how to rest in the finished work of Jesus, done on our behalf and to the glory of your name. Amen.